Ready for some terrifying tales of horror? If you've only seen the movies and you haven't read The Lord of the Rings, then you are in for some spine-chilling revelations today. Please, if you have not read the chapter Fog on the Borrowdowns from J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring, then hit pause, go read that chapter, and then come back. Do not let my thoughts spoil this chapter for you. I'll wait. Go ahead. If you need to purchase a copy, then use the link in the show notes and order one from Amazon. Seriously. Go read this chapter. Okay, did you read it? Wonderful. Now, let's wander. Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide. Let's start today with a letter from a fellow wanderer, Landon, who sent me the following. Quote, "Hey Aaron, I just wanted to say thanks for the show and the in-depth nature you go into it. I have been an LOTR fan for a long time now and read The Silmarillion a couple of times before I found the podcast. You really helped me navigate The Silmarillion, and I keep discovering new things through your in-depth look at The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit breakdowns." Landon, you are welcome and thank you for listening to the show. I'm glad you found the breakdowns helpful in understanding The Silmarillion a bit deeper. And if you would like to send me a note, you can DM me on Instagram or Twitter/X, or use the contact form on ringspodcast.com. I'd love to hear from wanderers like you. As always, we must check the map and remember where we are for today's tale. We've been exploring J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring in the 8th chapter called Fog on the Borrowdowns, which I hope you've read by now. Frodo and friends are trying to reach Bree, where they hope to meet Gandalf and continue on their way to Rivendell. However, they have gotten lost and separated in the hill country called the Downs. In the darkness and confusion, Frodo encounters a dark figure with pale eyes and an icy grip who captures him. But as he wakes after blacking out, Frodo realizes that the dark figure is a wight. So what is a wight? W-I-G-H-T. A wight is found in many European folklores and usually refers to some sort of reanimated corpse or ghostly figure. In The Lord of the Rings, these wights are particularly evil. In Appendix A, we learn that there was a plague during the Third Age, many hundreds of years before Frodo lived, and, quote, "it was at this time that an end came of the Dunedain of Cardolan, and evil spirits out of Angmar and Rudaur entered into the deserted mounds and dwelt there." Okay, that's a lot of place names and difficult terms to throw at you, but by the end of this episode, that will make a lot more sense. The key idea for now is that wights were evil spirits that came from Angmar. Angmar was the kingdom that was ruled over by the chief of the Nazgul, also known as the Witch King of Angmar. So already, just in these evil spirits that inhabit the burial mounds, Tolkien interweaves the story of the rings together in subtle ways. However, it is important to note that the wights are not the ghosts of those who are buried in the mounds. No, they are evil spirits who came during the Third Age after the burial mounds had already been there. These burial mounds themselves date back to the days before the first tribes of men wandered west over the mountains and found the elves. But that was way back in the first age of Middle-earth, and you can explore that story in episode 11. One last bit of general trivia about wights. It appears they will have their on-screen debut in season 2 of Rings of Power. I've seen a few images, and it looks like of skeletal, ghostly figures with pale eyes, one of whom is struggling with Galadriel. It looks promising to me, and I'm looking forward to that, although it will mess around with the timeline significantly if those wights are indeed the same as the wights who are supposed to have inhabited the burial mounds of the Borrowdowns. Now, I've been teasing it for several episodes, but the scenes in this chapter absolutely terrified me as a kid. This scene is rather chilling for me. Frodo is full of dread, there's darkness all around, eventually he's able to see his friends in a pale light, but they are clad in white with a sword laying across their necks. It's creepy. But I want to pause on the source of the light in the darkness. When Frodo first wakes, he sees nothing in the absolute dark. But Tolkien tells us that, quote, "there is a seed of courage hidden, often deeply, it is true, in the heart of the fattest and most timid hobbit, waiting for some final and desperate danger to make it grow." Frodo is far from being the fattest and most timid hobbit, although that description would likely fit Sam quite a bit better than Frodo. However, in this moment, Frodo finds his courage, and that courage begins to exude physical light. We saw a bit of this courage in the first chapter of The Hobbit, where Bilbo suddenly agrees to the adventure so that he can simply be called fierce. That was the took side of him winning over. And let's back up a few chapters to the elf Gildor and his advice to Frodo. Quote, courage is found in unlikely places. I can think of no more an unlikely place to find courage than in the dreadful darkness of an ancient burial mound captured by an evil spirit, as your three friends have been prepared as human sacrifices. Yet it is this simple hobbit courage that provides Frodo with the light that he needs, so much so that, quote, he no longer felt like a helpless prey. In the light, Frodo discovers his friends, dressed in white and surrounded by treasures and rings. In the book, The Making of Middle-earth, Christopher Snyder describes the hobbit's adornments as, quote, almost any ancient pagan royal burial. So whose burial mound was this? Into what tomb have the hobbits been ensnared? Well, let's go back to Appendix A, where we find, quote, some say that the mound in which the ring-bearer was imprisoned had been the grave of the last prince of Cardolan, who fell in the war of 1409. So this burial mound is none other than a royal tomb, where the last royalty of Cardolan was laid to rest. Okay, cool, but so what? What is Cardolan anyway? Cardolan was a kingdom of men, of Dunedain to be exact. It was one of three kingdoms that had been formed after the collapse of the Kingdom of Arnor. Arnor had been the northern sister kingdom to the southern kingdom of Gondor. Arnor was founded by Elendil, the faithful man from Numenor, whose son Isildur claimed the One Ring. Okay, track with me here. I know we just went backwards, but let me say it this way. Numenor was the mighty kingdom of men in the Second Age, where Elendil and his sons were faithful friends to the elves. After Numenor's fall, Elendil and his sons founded Arnor and Gondor in Middle-earth. Arnor collapsed, and Cardolan was one of the three kingdoms that was formed in its wake. The last prince of Cardolan was buried in the mound where Frodo was captured. Follow me? Okay, good, because let's go one step further. Who is the heir of Isildur and Elendil, the last of a royal line that can claim kingship in Gondor and restore the northern kingdom of Arnor? Why, yes, our favorite ranger, Aragorn. Now, Aragorn's line was not part of Cardolan per se, but in a distant connection, the Prince of Cardolan would likely have been kinsmen to Aragorn's ancient ancestors. The tale of the Ring and the heirs of Elendil are one and the same. All things are weaved into that story. For a deep dive on Arnor, these three kingdoms, and Aragorn's line, check out episode number 65. However, all this ancient history doesn't help Frodo. He has some light now, yes, but his terror only grows as he hears a song or chanting growing in the darkness. Some words of this chilling song may sound familiar. They were taken up by Gollum in the Two Towers film. Quote, cold be hand and heart and bone, till the sun fails and moon is dead. This song is a song of darkness, worshipping the Dark Lord, and makes Frodo feel as if he's been turned to stone. And if you ask me, that song, for all its coldness, is still far more beautiful than Petrificus Totalis. As if darkness, cold, and evil chanting weren't enough, what happens next is what freaks me out as a reader. Frodo sees, quote, round the corner, a long arm was groping, walking on its fingers. Yikes! It makes me squirm. How long is this arm? Is it attached to a body? If so, why does it walk on its fingers? Is it old and rotting? How is it singing? What is it going to do as it walks toward the sword on the throats of the hobbits? The terrifying power of this moment is not so much in what Tolkien describes, as in what he doesn't. This finger-walking arm leaves you and I with so many disturbing questions, so our imaginations start to fill in the holes. And sometimes, our imaginations can make some rather creepy stories, even creepier than what a storyteller might be able to come up with. The opening scenes of Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back are a great example. In the original film, we see only short, nondescriptive shots of the Yeti monster that captures Luke. I think it's called a Wampa? It's terrifying, but in the re-edited versions released years later, we see the monster having dinner, and it seems like Luke is simply an annoying salesman at the door. The terrifying power is incredibly softened because our imaginations have less to deal with. Not seeing is almost always far more horrific than seeing. Frodo's reaction reveals the effects of the One Ring is already having on him. Yes, Frodo has courage, but another conflicting emotion is arising inside. I think this line is rather revealing. Quote, he thought of himself. The ring pulls at Frodo, making him selfish and focused on his own freedom and self-preservation, of leaving his friends behind and saving himself. The ring goes on to plant self-justifying thoughts in Frodo's mind. Quote, Gandalf would admit that there had been nothing else he could do. And then a deep and abiding theme for Lord of the Rings is revealed. Quote, but the courage that had awakened in him was now too strong. He could not leave his friends so easily. Beyond courage, it was Frodo's love for his friends that motivated him to stay, that gave him the resilience to resist the temptation of the ring. Grabbing a nearby sword, he hacks at the groping arm and severs the hand at the wrist. His sword shatters, but a shriek and snarl come from the dark. Likewise, if you are enjoying the show, I hope that a seed of courage has awakened within you, and you share this episode with a friend. A finger-walking arm is likely not approaching your friends at this moment, but you never know. You can share some light with your friends just by tapping the share button and sending them a link to this episode. While Frodo has severed the hand of the white, his light has gone out, and the white still snarls from the back of the cave. Will Frodo be able to escape the darkness? We'll get to that right after this break. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
With a sudden remembering, sitting in the darkness, and with a, quote, small, desperate voice, Frodo sings the song that Tom Bombadil had taught them. Quote, come, Tom Bombadil, for our need is near us. Within moments, Tom can be heard singing his merry songs, and in no time, a side of the hill opens. Where Frodo had previously seen through his pale courage light, now Tom is able to provide, quote, real light, the plain light of day, the light of the sun. Tom shows us that indeed, quote, his songs are stronger songs, as he sings a song that banishes the white from the mound. The chamber crashes in on itself, a shriek grows and fades, yet Frodo sees, quote, a severed hand wringing still, before it disappears under, quote, a heap of fallen earth. This is the second time that Tom has saved Frodo from death. In both instances, Frodo and his friends had been ensnared by creatures of ill intent, Old Man Willow in the Old Forest, and the White. In both cases, Tom used songs to show his mastery over the natural world around him. This banishing of the White and the crumbling of the burial chamber show indeed that Tom is master of Hill, and provides the perfect inversion to the first time that Tom saved Frodo, where he showed then that he was master of wood. You may be sick of it by now, but the pattern of Tom being master of wood, water, and hill is crucial to understanding how critical Tom is to the story. While Tom may have little understanding of Frodo's quest, he is still pivotal in helping Frodo and friends not once, but twice. Otherwise, the One Ring would have been swallowed and buried deep in the roots of an old tree or lost among the treasures of an ancient burial mound. Tom invokes some religious symbols as he raises his right hand and commands the hobbits to awake from the enchanted sleep that the White had induced upon them. Don't forget that Tolkien once said that The Lord of the Rings is fundamentally a religious and Catholic work, and Tom's exorcism and healing miracle in this chapter are a great manifestation of that idea. Before we close out, I want to explore one more detail with you. When Merry wakes up, he says a rather interesting riddle. Quote, "Of course, I remember. The men of Carn Doom came on us at night, and we were worsted. Ah, the spear in my heart. What am I saying? I have been dreaming." What in the world is going on here? It would seem that Merry has melded memories in some way with the prince that had been buried in the Barrow. I turn to the words of Becca Tarnas, the academic that I interviewed as a guest on the show a few months ago. In her book, Journey to the Imaginal Realm, she says, quote, "Merry's consciousness seems to have fused with the consciousness of the dead man buried in the Barrow, something like a transferred memory or a vision of a past life." I'll put a link to purchase that book on Amazon in the show notes, and if you want to review that enlightening conversation with Becca, then please check out episode number 135. But back up, if Merry's memory has fused with the man from the tomb, and the tomb is the tomb of the Prince of Cardolan, then who are the men of Carn Doom? To answer this, we turn to a map of Middle-earth. If you look at the very northern tip of the Misty Mountains, on the western side at the very top is a small spur of mountains that juts out to the left, and there you'll find a little dot labeled Carn Doom. Carn Doom was a chief city in the kingdom of Angmar, that kingdom of the Witch King, who in turn was servant of the Dark Lord Sauron. The men of Carn Doom were in service to the Witch King and had attacked the men of Cardolan and the other Dunedain kingdoms in the region. So, in Merry's mind and memory, he has become the victim of a battle between the Dunedain of Cardolan and their mortal enemy, the Witch King of Angmar, and the men of Carn Doom. Therefore, Merry the Hobbit now has a personal score to settle against the chief of the Nazgul. Let's just hope that he will one day get the chance to face the Witch King and avenge his fallen Cardolian comrades. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Are you ready to dive deeper into Tolkien's world? If you've ever struggled to read The Silmarillion, I've got just the thing for you. I've created a free guide packed with my best tips to help you conquer this epic book. Whether you're a seasoned reader or tackling it for the first time, this guide will make your journey through the first age of Middle-earth more rewarding than ever. Head over to ringspodcast.com to download your free guide today. Your adventure deeper into Middle-earth starts now. Visit ringspodcast.com today for your free guide.